I am resolved. What a blessing. Are you resolved? Hello? Am I all the only one up here? Yes. Praise the Lord. I hope you are. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about this particular message and wondering about what it would be like to speak to a huge, huge crowd. What would I say if I had a huge crowd? If we look at the very first verse, here of Mark chapter 4, it helps us understand a little bit more of what's happening and kind of give you a little bit what's going on with the Lord. And he began again. The word again here is interesting because now he must have done this before. He felt like it was important for them to hear the message again. And what's interesting in this verse is that the Lord Jesus Christ was probably going over something he already taught before. In verse number 1, he says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude." The word great here, of course, was put in. It is part of the inspired word of God. If we were to do a word study on the word great here, we would see that there was more than just a few, that there was a great. In fact, some of the commentaries put down, was gathered unto him a very great multitude. So they entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And so it gives us a little bit more of the understanding of a huge crowd. It wasn't just normal. This was something where I suppose Jesus maybe had predetermined what he was going to speak about. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he thought, I need to teach him this particular thought and this particular doctrine. In fact, in verse number 2, it says, "And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine." So we're looking at the manner, the way, how many people were there. We look at the method. He's using parables. Of course, we'll look at the message in just a moment. But here there is a lot to be taught, his doctrine. And then he uses the word hearken. Look at the next verse in verse number 3, hearken. It's the word akouete. And that particular word has a lot more than just trying to get their attention. It's hearken unto what I'm going to tell you. Behold. So it's hearken and behold. Usually you find hearken and without behold, or you find behold without hearken. But here he's going, this is really important. Hearken unto what I'm going to say, and behold. So it's hearken and see and look. It's important for you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. So hearken, and there went out a sower to sow. And so when we're talking about a parable, we're talking about people without names, and so they're just stories. And we don't think this is a person. And we're dealing with a story. I always say it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so there is something spiritual to be gotten out of this, even though it's an earthly story. An earthly story about a farmer who goes out to sow seed. And so Jesus, the great master teacher, is emphasizing the need for this. And I don't want to read it all over again to you and be redundant. You already read it once, and many of you have studied this passage probably several times. But I want to show you a pattern here. Verse number 4, the words, the Bible in front of you, and if you mark in your Bible, you can mark. I try to mark up mine as much as I can so I can remember where I'm at and what I've studied or what God has showed to me. I usually take out my pen and I'll find some place where I can get alone, and then I write down, this is the sower of the seed. This is the sower of the ground. This is really the sower of the heart. This could be the sower of the truth. This could be the sower, or it could be the parable. It could be the parable of the heart. It could be the parable of the root. Is that's my focus. And this stuck out to me this week in my devotions, that there is a need for fruit. There must be a what? Root. And so maybe you're sitting here today and you say, well, I've got a root problem. Well, that's good that you have identified that, because in order for there to be fruit, we've got to have a root. Healthy root, healthy. It just makes sense, doesn't it? And so sometimes people can't determine whether they have a root problem or not. And we're talking about a root is what are they grounded in? What are the roots in? Are they in good soil? And Jesus wanted to convey this to them. I think sometimes we go through life and say, I'm really in a rut. How many have ever been in a rut? Raise your hand. And so we get into a rut spiritually, and we think, you know, I don't know how I can get out of this. I used to carry the mail years ago in Madison here, or in Milwaukee. I carried papers before that. I think I was 11 when I got a paper out. And what we got was a really big bicycle. We had a bicycle that could fold up. We pulled up the Sunday papers. Those are big papers, aren't they? They've always been big. On Sunday, it was huge. The Lord's Day, the Howell boys had paper outs. One had 88 and one had 73. I had the one that had 73 customers, a little less. And but we had this bike that was just huge, and it was a big basket on the front. It was used in the 50s and 60s to deliver groceries to people's homes. They used to do that. You know, some older lady would need groceries. They put them into this basket, this huge basket, and they would deliver them. It was in really good shape. We purchased it. Dale got that bike. I had a little small basket on the front of mine and two big baskets on the back, and that's how we were able to, plus you take your bag with you. So you've got quite a load as you're going, because I was going actually three blocks, maybe more than that, away from where I carried the mail. Dale could come back to the house and get his and so on. But we had this idea that we'd use this big bike. But sometimes when you're riding a big bike and there's lots of papers in it and you get down into a rut, you're thinking, oh no, what's going to happen to me now? And sometimes that paper, that bicycle was so heavy in the front that if we get into a rut, we would keep going. Sometimes we'd hit something and then all the weight would go to the front and it would take the person off the bike. My brother was bigger than I was, and so he had no problem riding that bike, but I did. Sometimes I would get into a rut and I would think, I've got to get out of this rut as soon as possible, right? So I can deliver the papers. Well, let me just tell you this in life generally. If you're in a rut, you need to get out of that rut as soon as possible. And so determining whether I've got a rut problem or a root problem is the first thing we need to do in our minds to say, what is going on with me? How come I'm feeling this way? Why do I sense this is wrong? And how can I change things? Well, if we got a root problem, then we need to receive Christ as our Savior and be rooted in the Word of God. We've got to go beyond just the salvation. Listen to me this morning, because this is so crucial. Can I just say, hearken and behold? This is crucial that you know that you are grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're settled and you're established in Him. Because out of Him you can do absolutely nothing. You will struggle and struggle and struggle. You'll struggle in your marriage. You'll struggle in your workplace. You'll struggle in your family relationships if you are outside of Christ. And even sometimes in Christ you struggle, but you will struggle more outside of Christ. And so that is the root we're talking about here. If we look at the seed going out, we know it's the Word of God. We look at the soil, we know that the soil is dealing with the heart of the individual. We know the sower, of course, is the Spirit of God. He is working constantly to be able to allow that seed to be germinated in our heart so that we would actually blossom for Him. And so in that context, we see that there are four different words, phrases being used in the first part of chapter 4. In fact, it's in verse number 4. It says, some fell. In verse number 2, and some fell. In verse number 3, and some fell. In verse number 4, verse number 5, verse number 7, and verse number 8. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And again, this particular akouete, this hearkening, is in verse number 9 also. And I think he emphasizes this. He said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear this. And so there's a little bit more than just coming to church and shaking hands and showing people your nice tie. There's more than that. There's a coming to church, sitting down, and letting the Word of God be permanently in you, so that it will change you so that you can become what God wanted you to become. Because it's not going to be a game in the Christian life. You are going to find struggles and difficulties. And if you're not careful,
you are going to have troubles in the area of even falling away. And in this particular passage, we see that verse number 17. We see, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Now, if you look at your Bible and you say, well, I marked here the some fell, and some fell, and some fell, and other fell, so I have those four times that are mentioned. Jesus explains it then to the disciples on their request, verse number 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear, not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all the parables? And so he goes to explain it. So if you mark in your Bible, you'd see verse 15, you can circle. These are they. Verse number 16, these are they. Verse number 18, these are they. And verse number 20, these are they. So we're actually connecting them. And sometimes I actually draw a line from the place where it's talking about these individuals. Verse number 4, I'm connecting it to verse number 15. Verse number 5, I'm connecting it to verse number 16. Verse number 7, I'm sorry, verse number 7, I'm connecting it to verse number 18. And verse number 8, I'm connecting it to verse number 20. And so really we're talking about different types of soil that the seed falls upon. The very first one here is talking about the hard-hearted. One of the commentators said that this is the ignorant. They are wayside hearers. They are the ones that are hardened. And in verse number 4, it says, and it came to pass as he fell, as he sowed, that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. So it's talking about falling upon soil that has no grass upon it. And many have said that that's probably because people have walked on that path. When I was in the back years ago, I used to go and milk cows. Every single morning, 4:45, we were heading to the barn. And how many of you ever milk cows? Raise your hand. I don't know why they milk them at 4:45. I think maybe like 10:30 would have been a good time to milk it in the morning. You know, maybe just milk them twice right away and not worry about the second milking, you know. And I never really went to the farmer and asked him about that, but it would be a lot better for me, I think. 4:45, I didn't get up. He'd bring the trumpet in. He was a band teacher at a public school, and he became a farmer. And so he woke me up in the strangest ways. And so I was 15 and a half when I went there. I stayed there for four summers, and ended up at Hiles Anderson College after my time in the summers of farming. But when we got up early in the morning, we used to have to walk along where the pigs eat, and then a long path all the way to the barn. And you know what's interesting is that path was probably done by the farmer before us, and maybe the farmer before him. I don't know, but there was no grass growing on that path. I'd head to the barn, and you know my lips were bigger in the morning, and my eyes were squinty, and I would try to follow that path, and I could follow it really good. After maybe a gallon of grape juice, trying to wake up. But I'm walking along that path, and I was thinking, man, that's the hard path. No grass is going to ever grow here, because every single morning we're on that path. It was beaten down. So seed would fall upon that, and it would be so hard that the birds would be, we know all of this, right? It is so simple. And Jesus was expressing that, the necessity of not only listening to it, but then taking note of it. That the word of God is going to fall on places where it's so hard that the enemy is going to just be able to come in and take away the seed before you can even count to three. It's going to be gone immediately. And so that was the first one he's talking about. The answer to it, and the way that he spiritualizes it, if you would, is found in verse number 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in the hearts. You know, this is a sad verse to me. Because all the potential of the word of God falling upon the heart of someone that's not hard-hearted. Oh, the potential. And sometimes God softens your heart. Don't shy away from that. Sometimes life gets really, really, really hard. And things happen that you never thought would ever happen. And when you're broken, don't run from that. Because it's at those times that the Word of God can enter in and germinate in your heart that you could say, hallelujah for the hard times. Because it softened my heart. My burden became a blessing. It's interesting as we think about the second one, because he says in verse number 5, and some fell on stony ground. I think that's interesting. Stony ground. And then we look at verse number 16, and these are likewise which was sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Now this is where I want to focus on this, these particular ones. Verse number 3, of course, deals with the thorny thorns among them. If we look at the second one, we're dealing with a shallow-hearted person. In verse number 5, somebody who perhaps has a stony, grounded heart. The commentaries were actually not only talking about the hard-hearted being ignorant, but the shallow-hearted, verse number 5, that particular individual in verse number 17 was an emotional person. An ignorant person and an emotional person. And then the third one, dealing with the thorny ground, a half-hearted individual is found in verse number 7, and some fell in thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. So there was these thorns that grew up in it. And so the commentaries were saying that the hard-hearted were ignorant, the shallow-hearted were emotional, but the half-hearted were worldly people. And the answer, of course, is going to be allowing the Word of God to touch you and to take root in your heart. Verse number 4, or number 4, verse number 8 is found, the other fell on good ground. Number 8, and I think really if we look at these, we're talking about the wholehearted individuals. In verse number 20, it says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, and such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold and some 60-fold and some 100. But I want to back up a little bit and go back to verse number 17, verse number 6, and verse number 17, and you can connect these two. Because it's talking about those that fell on stony ground. Now, I have a garden every year. We've got really stony ground. My house is built on a place where they would put the farmer's boulders all the time. They have fields on both sides. We had a little bit of a finger that went through. It used to be a deer run. Now it's Dean's run. And I take the four-wheeler through there. It's a finger that goes all the way back over to Noah Road. But they would take the boulders and they would put it on there so all this is there. I mean, all kinds of stones and everything else. And sometimes even small pieces of metal, different things. I found jacks, I found sledgehammers and different things through the years that have come up from the ground. The garden is the same way. We can till our garden, but it's very, very stony. And I get the privilege of planting the corn. And so when I make the corn planted and I go out there with eagerness to look and see if it's going to come up, there's always a difficulty, it seems like, because some of the corn seed is placed upon the stone. There's a little bit of dirt there that it can germinate a little bit, but then when it sprouts up, it fades away really quick because it can't get any roots. There's no roots, and so that's why it's important for us to understand what Jesus was talking about in the parable, because sometimes you can allow things to go for a little bit, but there's no depth to you. You've been shallow in your walk with God. You've been really, really pliable during the crisis, but when the crisis is over, you depart from the Word of God, you depart from the duty that God has given to you, and then you go out and you say, why am I struggling so much? Why do I just seem like I shine for a little while and then go back down? I think if we would dwell in the Word of God and let the Word of God dwell in us richly, we'd see a whole new thing going on in our lives because God would help us to be able to grow. And so we go back to the scriptures and being sown. In this particular passage, this particular one, this thought came to my mind in the area of no fruit because of no root. I think we're talking about people that would come to hear the Word of God, but now not allowing it to sink in. You're looking for a song instead of a sermon. I think we're in our culture today, people are very sensual, and what they would like to do is have a little bit of tickling going on, and a little bit of feeling going on, a little bit of emotions going on, a little bit of superficial, so that when they walk away, they can just say, I felt it. Let me just tell you something. Christianity is not a feeling. It's a fact. Although there are some things where you say, boy, I feel the sense of God, I feel the presence of God, and I'm not taking away from that at all. But there are some mornings when Dean Howell wakes up and I don't feel like a Christian. And there are going to be times when you don't feel like you're a Christian, and don't base it upon your emotion. Say, I must not be saved because I don't feel it. As long as you're believing and understanding and having faith in the Word of God and what Jesus said, you're on the right track. And so, what happens in all of this? I think there's some things to think about back in Ezekiel. And so turn back, if you would, with me to the Bible. I want you to look at this. Ezekiel 33. And you can remember that because Jesus Christ was 33. When he, of course, was crucified. And so now you'll set in your mind, what was that passage that Pastor was talking about? It's in Ezekiel 33. In Ezekiel 33, and some of you need to look at this, verse number 30, I think it would note it, and I highlighted it in yellow in my Bible, but listen to what he says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee, by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother. They're talking about Ezekiel. They're still talking about Ezekiel. And they're saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes from the Lord. Look at verse 31 of Ezekiel 33. And they come unto thee as the people comes, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love. Wow. What he's talking about here is that there's some that are God's people, and there's some that are just coming in to see what's going on, and they're actually full of love. At least their words are. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy works, but they do them not. And when this comes to pass, lo, it will come to pass. And then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. And so they had an issue in the Old Testament where they were actually thinking, man, Ezekiel's prophesying. And I'm going to go listen to Ezekiel. And I'm going to sit down and listen. Because it's kind of like listening to a sweet song. I'm not going to listen to what God has to say or be obedient to that. And certainly we have these, what we call homilies, or these sermons, and this ability to connect the dots, and sometimes it is sweet upon your heart. Well, dear friend, then get a CD and listen to it again. But open up your Bible and go back to it again. And abide in the Word of God. Because when you do that, God will actually change you on the inside. It's called sanctification. It's not just salvation. And so, I think when we're talking about verse number 17, and in verse number 6, we see the word no root in themselves. Interesting. No root in themselves. Because many mistake feeling for faith. Many mistake the power of emotion for the depth of piety. And these folks, one of the commentaries said that they're easily offended as they are impressed. In other words, they can go back and forth. Someone said, if you have a church and you take a church as a pastor, remember the guy that picks you up at the airport is going to give you a train ticket out of town, probably. Because they're not wanting to have their own lives changed many times. Because the Word of God is sometimes like a knife that cuts. It's sometimes like a hammer that pounds. Sometimes it's like a fire that burns. Because what happens with us as individuals is we're kind of looking for the feeling rather than... We're kind of looking for the emotion rather than the truth of saying, look, you got to look into a mirror today and there's some changes you need to make, and God will help you make those. And so our focus this morning, I hope, would help you understand that there are those that come, listen to the Word of God, and yet they have no root. Verse number 6, and when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. What's the explanation of that? Jesus goes further in verse 17, and they have no root in themselves. And I'm kind of reminded when I think about having no root in themselves, is that sometimes if we're not careful, we're going to rely upon other people to help us in our Christian walk. How many have really good kids? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Really. Don't be honest. Yeah, you are. You're being honest. And you try to help your kids. You nurture them. You care for them. And even you go the extra mile and sometimes you clean up their room for them. Right? And you're hoping that someday they're going to clean their own room. Right? Well, dream on. Because if you keep doing it, they ain't going to do it. And then what happens is they get a car, and then you have to have a tetanus shot to get into their car. Because they take everything from the front seat and put it in the back seat, right? They take everything from the back seat and put it in the trunk, right? Look how clean my car is, but look at my trunk. Or look at my room, but don't look under the bed. But you know what? When you're nurturing a child and you're helping them, the best thing you can do is say, let's do it yourself this time, okay? We talked about this in Sunday school class. We give assignments because we're trying to create habitual spiritual disciplines in our children early on so that when they get up into the teens, they're going to be able to know what it's like to take a verse and dissect it and pick out the things that they need to be able to help them in life, right? See, helping them and nurturing them along. And we go back to them again and again to teach them because they're our children. And so we ought to with the spiritual. We have a program on Friday nights, right? And in that program, we're helping people to understand that you can place things within your heart so that your heart is full of what is good, so you're not craving that which is bad. So you're helping, forming them and understand that it's the Word of God in them that's going to help them change permanently. Because salvation, everybody wants to be saved. Well, I'm saved. But now am I actually willing to nurture that seed in me so that I can bear fruit? And if I have no root, there'll be no fruit. And so we understand this, but how does it all work? I think there needs to be programs in a church to be able to help people grow in grace. And I think there needs to be a love in the heart of the believer to go back to them again. But this reminds me of what's going on in Matthew chapter 25. In the first few verses of Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. Several times, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, the kingdom of heaven is not like unto. It's like unto 10 virgins. Remember the story. 5 of them were wise and 5 are foolish. Well, the wise ones had their oil in their lamps and they kept burning. The other 5 were foolish, and they were asking, hey, my light's going out, can you help me? And they couldn't help them. Remember, the door closes, the bridegroom comes, and the door slams. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 went into heaven. Because they had light in themselves. They had received Christ as their personal Savior. It's interesting that that parable that Jesus gives about that splits it right in half. To say half of them, you know, I think if we're dealing with all of Christendom, you could split it right down. We're talking about all the denominational things and say how many people are truly born again and have the light within them. They had no root in themselves. Kind of reminds me of those that have no oil in themselves and they're going to other people and saying, you got this truth, give it to me. Because I want to borrow from you. You've got an excitement. You've got a burning fire. You got the Lord with you. And I want that too. So I'm going to hang with you. Don't ever leave me. And they cleave to an individual rather than cleaving to the Lord. They're cleaving to a denomination. They're cleaving to the priest or to the pastor. They're cleaving to the evangelist or to Dr. So-and-so. And they don't even have a walk with God themselves. They have no root. So they have no fruit. Does it make sense to you today? You know, it's interesting as we think about this because we're representatives of Christ. And so we're going into a world to be the light. And we can't take so-and-so with us all the time. We gotta get our own oil. We gotta have our own roots. This is a serious thing. And not a serious thing where Jesus is saying, I'm gonna tell you about these four people. And three of them are not very successful, but one is, because he's grounded and he's settled and he's nurtured and the Spirit of God is there. You see, because anything that you plant is going to grow deep enough because the roots are desiring some kind of moisture. There's got to be more to this than just existing. God wants to help me to be what I should be. And then there's, at the end of the day, then there's going to be wonderful apple trees. I was looking this morning at ours, and they did a good job of pruning them. They did a good job of, Daryl, if you could just keep them out for another 10 minutes, not let them back in. With one more interruption, I'm probably done in a minute. But I think it's interesting as we think about this because we're dealing with something that will produce fruit in my life. And the fruit is not other Christians. That we hope would happen. But the fruit we're talking about is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. To have the love and the joy and the peace that we need. And so these really, individuals that have no root, look what it says, in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And then afterward, a little while, when affliction comes, and that affliction is the same word for pressure, and then there's going to be persecution following after to persecute, arises for the word's sake. That's interesting because the word here, the seed, really is the truth, and for the truth's sake. So there's going to be a time that this individual, because they don't have any root in themselves, is going to be afflicted or persecuted because of the word of God, for the word's sake, and immediately they are offended. You know that word offended? Has anybody ever heard of somebody getting offended? Raise your hand. Really? How many of you have been offended? Raise your hand if you've been offended. Yeah. Put it that way, a little bit more. But this particular word is not the offender we think of, you know. Yeah, it offends me. Offend, 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 offend. I just can't believe it. Everybody's offended these days. Everybody's walking all around thinking, I've been so offended. Let me give you a pacifier. This is a spiritual pacifier. This word offended is really, it's caused to fall or to trip up or to be enticed into sin. And so what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying is that these individuals with no root are limited in their reception of truth. So there's a small little ability for them to grow. They are shallow. They may spring up, but when the heat of the day comes, they are going to wither. Kind of reminds me of the gourd in Jonah's story. How just in a day that thing grows, and all of a sudden the heat comes out, and the day, and the priest just kind of withers out. And so it kind of, you know, maybe perhaps victory was sweet for a while, and there was this wonderful New Year impulse, and you were saying, "It's all I'm reading the Bible all the way through. I've been able to." It's kind of like my diet thing, you know. I'm doing really good this week. I get excited about it. But then someone makes me cookies or something, you know. Or I drive by and it says, you know, buy one, get one free cheeseburger, you know. And then I'm enticed, right? Because everything's going really good. I'm excited about it. It's really wonderful. All of a sudden, oh, yeah. Well, how's your diet going, Dean? I don't know what color I should diet. Anyway, some of you will get it when you get home. But I don't know how to express this any further, and I think I'm wrapping up the sermon, but There is a shallowness. There is a what I would call superficial that comes out of somebody who just is kind of shallow in their walk with God, because underneath is that stone. Underneath is that hardness. And there's soil there on top, and there is this hope. But they have no source of moisture. So like these that are carried away with some shallow sensationalism. No root to be able to discern and judge. No root to be able to have pricks, fixed principles that will actually help them in their life. No root of understanding so they can fulfill their duty. No root of their will, and it still remains undone. So they don't understand how to have proper restraints and impulses. There's no root for direction. There's no root in their memory because they just messed up last week and they forgot about how bad they felt and how terrible it was. And so these are lacking. They're limited in their reception. They're lacking in their reasoning. They're lazy in their responsibility. And they are loose in their reality. So what is the answer? It's pretty simple. Turn over to Colossians and I'll be all done. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. I know that sometimes as a pastor, sometimes if you have the opportunity to preach, you can preach in a condescending way. And I think that us as Baptists, I really believe we have the right position. I am a Baptist. I believe in the distinctives. I hold to them. But what I'm looking for is the proper disposition. Not just a good position, but a proper disposition. That I don't want to talk to you like I'm talking down to you. In the message this morning, I'm sure that there are some in this room that perhaps don't have any root. And I want you to analyze yourself. I had to search my heart in these scriptures. I had to say, Lord, do I have a root problem? Or am I in a rut? And if I've got a root problem, I better deal with it. You know, sometimes when those little pieces of corn start to come up and I take a look at it, it doesn't look right. You know, the stalk seems to be really thin and not much to it, and then it kind of turns to the right like it's trying to find moisture down below because it's not finding it anywhere. And so it bows down. And pretty soon it just kind of fizzles away. You know, I've been saved for 50 years, folks. And I'm telling you, there is nothing like the authentic Christian walk. And for years, I thought it was doing. The Christian life is not doing. The Christian life is being. Being honest before God about your very soul. Only Jesus can see your heart. We can't. And I want you to know that there are ways that we can be nurtured and cared for. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, it says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict or what concern I have for you." I'm concerned to the places where it's a conflict. I'm conflicted over you. And for them at Laodicea, and for many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted. That's the same word for encourage. You know, somebody would come alongside and encourage and comfort. Being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent with the in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So in verse number 6, it's saying now that you've received him, now you need to walk with him. If there's somebody here that's not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the beginning of it all. You say, well, I know who Jesus is, but I've never received him. You say, well, Pastor, I've been coming to church for years. You know, coming to this church for years or any other church for years does not save you. Only a relationship with God through Jesus Christ saves you. And we're living in a day and age when there's a lot of confusion out there. And let it not be at Grace Baptist Church. Let there be a truth about being born again. And then afterwards, living that way. Living like a born-again Christian. And so as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. And we're talking about walking in him and really being grounded in him. And so we're talking about something that implies action. It's walking with him. This year, I added on to the time that I read my devotionals. Right after that, I want to read the Bible all the way through again this year. And so after my devotions, that's one thing to have your devotions. That's wonderful. But my Bible reading and devotions are separate, it seems like. Because I want to learn from the Scriptures. Now, you may choose to go ahead and just do a devotion every day. Praise the Lord, you're doing that. But I don't want just the feeling. I want to know God. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want to know the power of his love. And I want to know the power so that I can actually live the way God wants me to live. And so I can have the fruit of a Christian who's actually benefiting society rather than being a burden on society and in the Christian life. And so walking implies action. What's interesting, too, that walking implies continuance, that I'm going to continue in him. Remember John 15, that if we abide in Christ, yes, we need to remain in him and stay steadfast in him. So I want to encourage you that if you sense that you are one of these people that are talked about with this, the Word of God falling upon your heart, maybe your heart has been damaged and hard-hearted, and it's almost like a pathway. Everybody's walked on it. Everybody's walked all over you. You can't have that peace. Come. Kneel down before a God that will break up the fallow ground of your heart. And he will plow, and he'll make sure that you're ready for his righteous reign if you ask him to make your heart soft, he will. But it begins with you. You know, this morning as I was coming to church, I was saying, God, would you please meet with us? He just reminded me of the verse, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. Grace Baptist Church, if you draw near, he will draw near. Dear friend, if you've been away from him, draw near to him. His promise is that he'll draw near to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I need to make some decisions, then come. Maybe you're of the person who has this shallow dirt going on. Oh, you know you're saved, but you're just struggling in the area of really being rooted. Then come. Ask of him, and he will supply the water you need to grow. Maybe you're the one that's full of thorns and briars and nothing worse than that, trying to move forward and all you feel is just you can't move. I absolutely hate cutting through the woods and getting caught in the briars. There's some that have little things that stick into your coat and they're hard to get out. They're like little burrs, like sand burrs. There's been thorns that have stuck my legs. They actually make a trousers that you can buy that are kind of coated thick so you don't scratch up your legs in the briars. And sometimes when I'm hunting, I'll put my rifle way up like this and I'll just go through the briars and just push, and I'm getting almost angry, I'm thinking. Sometimes life gets that way. Sometimes you turn your back and you just kind of keep going as much as you can through it. But the Bible's talking about too much worldliness is what the briars are. And all the things that keep you from moving forward is this world system. This world has nothing to offer you, folks. But heaven has everything to offer you. And God is holding his hand out to you today again. And this 13th day of January 2019 can be a new beginning of being somebody that allows the Word of God to fall upon good ground. And who knows what God would do with you in 2019 if you just said, yes, Lord, yes, have your will and have your way. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe this morning you'd be sitting here and saying, Pastor, I need some help. I need some prayers. But God has spoken to me this morning. I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved, but I'm struggling, Pastor, and so I need your prayers. If you would just please lift up your hand, I'll pray for you. I won't point you out, but maybe that was you. And God was speaking to you this morning. Thank you. Anybody else with these, just raise your hand, put it back down again. Thank you for your honesty all over. Praise the Lord this morning. And maybe you want to make that decision more than just a raising of hand. The altar is open for you this morning, and if you need to come, you come. And God will speak to you. I know he'll answer your prayer. And maybe this morning you'd like to come to an old-fashioned altar and just pray. But maybe there's somebody here that says, I don't have any root because I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And you've never been saved. And maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor, would you please pray for me because I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Is there any like that? Just lift up your hand and put it back down again. I won't point you out, but I'll pray for you. Is there anyone? Just lift up your hand and put it back down again. Then everyone in this room believes that they've trusted Jesus as their Savior. Praise the Lord for that. In just a moment, the piano's going to play. So could you stand right where you are, no one looking around, if every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you need to come to this old-fashioned altar today, right away, new beginnings, come. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to be grounded in your word. Help my heart to receive your word. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and as soon as I'm done, the piano will begin to play softly. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct in the invitation, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe right there in your pew, you would say, yes, Lord, yes, have your will and have your way. One more stanza. If you need to come, you come. Great. All right. Miriam, could you come up here for a minute? I want you to read these names. I don't want to embarrass you, but I kind of do in a way. But why don't you come up here? These are the folks that have gotten saved. These are the ones that are getting baptized. Could you just name the names there? I would just not do good with the names.
This is the whole name?
Yeah, is it Teresa?
Oh, yes. Okay. Teresa Morales Rodriguez, Mario Alfonso Morales Cervantes, Erendira Calentico Rodriguez.
Good. Thank you so much. You did so good. Appreciate that, Miriam. But they got saved last week or saved weeks before that. And what a blessing to have them here and get baptized today. And I asked Brother Mario, you could go ahead and be seated. I asked Brother Mario to baptize them. And so we're looking forward to having him come.
Hermano David, ¿me ayuda? ¿Me ayuda a decir unas palabras?
Okay.
Hey, Mario. Quiero dar gracias a Dios por esta mañana y la semana pasada hablé con una pareja y estuve dando una enseñanza acerca del bautismo porque es importante bautizarse.
Last week in Sunday school class, I gave a class on baptism to these folks that
I can be. So doy gracias a Dios porque ellos unos hermanos que decidieron bautizarse y obedecer en la enseñanza de la palabra de Dios.
Thank the Lord that they decided that they want to be baptized and they want to follow Christ in the ministry or in the service, and they give thanks to the Lord for that.
Estoy contento porque los hermanos se van a bautizar y para mí es como pastor hispano. De bautizarlo es una bonita experiencia y estoy contento por ellos.
Last week they decided to get baptized, and for me as a pastor in the Spanish ministry, it is a blessing, and that's it.
Okay, so muchas gracias por sus oraciones y por esta obra que muchas almas puedan seguir salvas y se puedan bautizar.
There many people can be saved and be baptized.
Solo quiero hacer claro algo. Había cuatro personas, pero una no puede, so ella va a bautizarse dentro de 8 días.
Last week there was four that made the decision to get baptized, but one of them was unable to get baptized today, and she'll be baptized next Sunday after the morning service.
Van a ser tres hoy.
It's going to be three now.
Sí, Mario Morales ha creído en Cristo y le ha pedido a Cristo que le salve y ahora viene a hacer públicamente su fe que cree en Cristo y viene a obedecer en el bautismo.
Mario Morales has been saved and he wants to follow Christ in baptism and ¿qué más?
Sí. Y yo lo bautizo, agárrese su nariz. Para que no le entre. Yo lo bautizo en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo. Teresa, ¿cuál es su apellido? Teresa de Morales también viene a bautizarse.
Teresa Morales.
Está un poquito el agua fría. Por eso.
Un poquito. Está fríísima.
Okay. Entonces, yo la bautizo en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo.
And I baptize her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Es un gozo ver a nuevos creyentes obedeciendo en el bautismo. Es una bendición ver a nuevos creyentes obedeciendo en el bautismo.
It's a blessing to me to see people coming forward to be baptized in the name of the Father. Good thing you weren't four, huh?
También la hermana, Erendira, Erendira, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Erendira viene obedeciendo en el bautismo, so yo la bautizo también por aquí, hermano. Yo la bautizo.
And Erendira is also saved and wants to be baptized. She was just saved a week ago.
Yo la bautizo en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo.
Baptize her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Up here, appreciate it. There you go. What a blessing it is to be able to see this. This is part of the church ordinance we believe in, the Lord's Supper and baptism. And this is what we're supposed to be doing. Go ye therefore and what? Baptize. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. Just to fulfill it all the way until He comes. Just to continue. We praise the Lord. And thank you for being here, all of you. And it's a true blessing to have you. Why don't you all stand? We'll have a word of prayer. Brother David will leave us if you would come and close our service with a word of prayer, Brother David. Savio, and you have your anniversary coming up this week, right? No? Yeah? Marriage anniversary, esposa?
Su aniversario. ¿Cuándo es? 15th of January.
Yeah, so it's coming up then. What is that? Today's the what, 13th? So it's Tuesday. How many years? 41 years. Wow, praise the Lord. Go ahead and close your service.
Thank you for all coming, and it is a blessed time for this baptism. And Pastor says we have a meeting, the leadership meeting, 4:30 tonight, so don't forget it. Monday. Okay. Griselda, hermana Griselda, sister Griselda, ask your prayers for her granddaughter, the newest granddaughter. Her name is Leah. She was just born about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and she is in marriage now. But they're going to be putting her in the place where they children's hospital. Thank you very much. So let's be praying for Leah also, and for her mother Suyapa and her father Sudi. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given to us, Lord. It is a great joy for us who know you, Father, that we had three more come to know Jesus as their Savior and follow in obedience of baptism, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them and that their lives may be filled with joy in thee, Father, and they would continue on in your service. Lord, we thank you for little Leah, who was just born about a week and a half ago. We ask thee, Father, that you would keep her in our hearts and our minds, that we may pray for her, Lord, and that you would do a work in this young life. And Father, even though the doctors had already written her off and encouraged the parents not to have her born, but Father, they obeyed thee, Father, and they wanted this child to be born. We pray, Lord, now that you would strengthen this child and that your power might be shown. Thank you, Father, again. Give us a good afternoon and a good afternoon this evening when we come back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.